Hello, and welcome to the Bookshelf Conversation, the podcast segment of Ron Kaplan's Baseball Bookshelf, your source for news, reviews, previews, and interviews with authors, artists, musicians, filmmakers, anyone who has anything to do with baseball and pop culture, because that's our slogan. If it fits on a bookshelf, it fits here. Well, hello again, everyone, and welcome back to another Bookshelf Conversation. I hope you enjoyed a good summer, as I did, and you can tell that because I haven't been posting these things in quite a long time. But with the school year, as it were, back in session, I hope to be doing them on a much more regular basis. Leading off for the new season of the Bookshelf Conversation, we have Seth Kramer, who is one of the directors of the documentary Heading Home. It's all about the Israel national team in the most recent World Baseball Classic. It could have been a Cinderella story had they won the whole shebang, but they did much better than anyone expected them to do. The team was comprised of several ball players, professional major leaguers, minor leaguers of Jewish ancestry, and it's a fun film, and I hope you get a chance to see it in a theater near you. So without further ado, here is our conversation with Seth Kramer. Seth Kramer, welcome to the Baseball Bookshelf.
Hey, it's great to be on with you. Thanks.
Now, unfortunately, I have to make a confession here. Normally, when I do these things, I have read the book or seen the movie, but in this case, I have not seen the movie. So some of my questions are going to be very innocent, I guess. So at what point did you decide you were going to do this?
Well, did you follow Team Israel as they were
did.
Playing?
Yeah, I did.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right. So you know how the movie ends. That's the start.
No spoiler alert.
You know, I have two fellow filmmakers that I've been working with for almost two decades. We made this film together, Jeremy Neuberger and Daniel Miller. And together we are friends with personal friends with a guy named Jonathan Mayo.
Mm-hmm. I know
who,
Jonathan, sure.
I'll bet you do. A Major League Baseball reporter who's been begging us for years to make a documentary about Jewish professional baseball players, because he is Jewish and that's kind of a passion of his, and he thought it would be interesting. So before there was a Team Israel, I'll say that my partners and I went down to spring training. I think this was, I should say, before I knew of Team Israel. We started interviewing just Jewish professional baseball players on various teams. Mm-hmm. Could be the Red Sox, could be, you know, whoever. And it was interesting to talk to these players for two reasons. It was giving us kind of a really unique angle on America's pastime, and it was also talking to these players who are breaking a pretty big Jewish stereotype that Jews are essentially like all Woody Allens. And not, you know, not very
God forbid.
Athletic.
God forbid.
Right. Right. I'm a fan of Seinfeld, but not all Jews are Seinfeld. You know, some Jews are actually very athletic, and that breaks a stereotype. Unfortunately, for the film project, when we got started, you know, we didn't see a story because the players were all on different teams. And we thought to ourselves, well, this would be a great story if by some miracle or some bit of magic, all these Jewish players happen to play on the same team, you know, fighting for this common purpose. But, oh, that'll never happen.
Wow.
And then about a year later, Jonathan Mayo called us back saying, hey, a lot of the players you talked to ended up being recruited to play for Israel in this huge international competition.
As you say, it was beshert. It was meant to be.
Exactly. That's right.
So, your role in the film, what is your title?
Well, my two partners, we all share the responsibility of producing and directing the movie.
Okay.
I also, in addition to that, was the editor of the film, and I did a lot of the camera work.
Okay, so it was a pretty small crew then.
Yeah, well, we pick up people as we go. So depending on, I mean, this film was filmed in the United States. It was filmed in Israel because the team all flew out to Israel. It was the competition was held in Korea and Japan. So there's a small core group, but you know, we had to pick up help and different crews along the way, and so it ended up being a pretty big production.
So this is a documentary as opposed to a feature film. So the role mm-hmm. of it, what is the role of the director in a documentary like this?
Right. Well, typically you think of a film director as someone who's working with actors, and there's a script, and you can clearly see where the creative vision comes in. But a lot of that pertains to documentary filming as well. I mean, if I have, I'll tell you a scene in the movie that a lot of the players are they're American players. They're recruited to play for Israel, but a lot of them have actually never set foot in Israel. So a big part of the movie is they take a trip there to see the country they'll be representing. And so there's a film at like the Western Wall they all go visit. So it's documentary, and they're visiting the wall, and you think, okay, you have cameras, your job is just to record what's happening. But there are many different ways to record a scene, creatively. You could record the chaos, because it's a chaotic place. It's like a religious site and a tourist, you know, site. Or you could choose to try to film what's happening in a more, kind of meditative way. Or look for different angles, or look to focus on different people, and that's the job of a director, really, is to figure out the sort of creative vibe of the scene. And then later, when you're editing, you have all these decisions about the music and the graphics and the tone of the piece and the themes, and that's all generally under the role of a director.
So, did anything happen organically? Like you might have had a plan of shooting, then something comes along and happens to say, "Hey, this would make a good inclusion in the film."
Yeah, well, this film was a bit of that happens all the time. Mm-hmm. This film was a bit of a whirlwind because from the time that Team Israel qualified to play in this competition, the World Baseball Classic, one of only 16 teams in the world to qualify, took a quick trip to Israel. And then competed where it was just a matter of months. I mean, I think all told it was like 4 months, and that's it. So there wasn't much time for too many surprises. But, you know, we were learning about the players along the way. And so the more we learned about individual players, the more we, you know, changed our tactics and who we focused on and who we talked to, and that was really interesting. Of course, we also didn't know if they were going to win or lose or whatever.
Sure.
So I think one big surprise was as Team Israel was gearing up to play the first game, all these news reports came out. The odds makers had given them 200-1 odds of winning anything. And so that changed our creative approach too. You know, suddenly we realized that we're making a movie about a team of underdogs.
Now, how does that work? What would have been a better story? That they win it all, or that they come close, or that they don't win it all?
Well, you know, it depends. I mean, it's not going to. I don't think it'll ruin if you follow Team Israel and the story at all, which was really, I think, one of the more unusual sports stories in recent memory. They did not emerge as the, you know, supreme winners of the of the contest. It would have been awful if they just played miserably and lost every game. That would have been, I think, a terrible movie. And if you can imagine, you know, filming over there, the competition started off in South Korea. You know, I was really nervous that might happen. Because then we'd have no movie, and I had spent all this time and energy and money, you know. But I think in this particular case, it's a story about a team that was really counted out, taking, you know, the world by surprise. So that's very exciting. But then it's about a lot of different things other than the game. These guys bonded in a very, very unusual way. For a baseball team, and they found themselves being sort of accidental representatives of the Jewish people on the world stage, mm-hmm. and all these things by the end of the film become maybe more important than winning every single game. And so I think that makes the movie unique and interesting.
Yeah, that's kind of what I was thinking along those lines. You mentioned the time and money involved. Describe the process of producing an independent film like this. Where does the money come from?
Oh, that's a good question. It varies. You know, some films. I've been working with this particular group of people for about 15 plus years, but then was a producer for 10 years before that. And every film has a different sort of takes a different path to get funding, and it's difficult. These aren't seen as necessarily commercial ventures that are going to make investors millions of dollars. Some films get we get grants. We produced a couple films with money from the National Science Foundation, let's say. This particular film was kind of interesting. We started out with a Kickstarter campaign. Mm-hmm. So we decided to try to crowdfund it, which we had never done for a film before. But we thought there might just be enough kind of crazy Jewish baseball fanatics who would love to be a part of the film process, you know, to be a part of the team. And so that gamble, worked out quite well because we were able to raise a lot of money through that. And then of course, in turn helped us promote the film because it was a way for people to learn about the film and get excited about it.
So do you go to groups and you do a little pitch?
Yeah, well, sometimes, for this film also, we got some individuals to provide some funding. And so in that case, we would have to either have a call if they're on a different coast or sometimes meet face-to-face. And, yeah, you have to pitch. You have to have, in some cases, your elevator pitch, so named because you're trying to explain your movie in the brief amount of time it would take for you to trap like a movie executive in an elevator, right? I didn't go to study film to be a salesman. I didn't think of myself in that way, but that's
a necessary
who you become.
Evil.
Right. You're like that's what it is. You're constantly shucking and jiving. You really just you're always looking to see who can become a potential underwriter.
Now, one of the players on the team we heard a lot about was Cody Decker.
Uh-huh.
Tell us a little bit about him.
Everything you've heard is true. He's very funny. He's like Cody Decker's like right out of the movies. He most recently played for the Arizona Diamondbacks. He's one of these guys. He spent a lot of time in the minors, getting up to the majors, then getting booted back down. That's sort of a tough baseball career. Immensely talented power hitter. But really funny. He's like he could have been a stand up comic. And he was kind of the jokester of Team Israel. He, among other things, decided that the team mascot would be something called the Mensch on the Bench, which if you haven't seen this, imagine like a huge like stuffed animal that you'd win at the fair. But a Mensch on the Bench is that, but it's a rabbi. and that became the mascot. And Cody became known as for like bringing the mascot into the press conferences, doing practical jokes on people. He's really a tremendous character. We were lucky to have him in the movie.
Now you mentioned the rabbi part. One of the questions that always comes up whenever I've written about Jewish players is their Jewish identity. Now you had one guy on the team, Ty Kelly, who his connection with Judaism was questioned, and I don't know how many other others, because according to halachic law, if your mother's Jewish, you're Jewish. Right. There are plenty of players whose mothers are not Jewish, but their fathers are Jewish, and like Ryan Braun. There are some authorities who will question their connection. I usually go by the Jewish Sports Review, which says I, the parent, can be Jewish, or they can be a convert, or can they just be brought up as long as they identify. So Ty Kelly was an interesting story because he had never really connected with Judaism.
Yeah, the, you know, a lot of these guys, I mean, they follow these, you had to have a Jewish grandparent. You know, there were some players who, they wanted to recruit, the team wanted to recruit, that didn't have sufficient proof of, let's say, Jewish ancestry. And so could not be on the team.
But that goes for any international team, the grandparent connection, because there are players who play for other countries who are obviously not born in other countries and whose parents are not directly from other countries.
That's correct. It's a really interesting competition for people who don't know about the World Baseball Classic. The point is to try to bolster baseball in countries that don't really have a very strong baseball culture, and maybe without these kind of loose citizenship rules would not be able to field the team. So a lot of these people, it's not just Ty Kelly, a lot of these players on Team Israel had a very, I would say, tenuous connection to Judaism, which is why I say that they became accidental representatives of the Jewish people. But what's interesting, and you see this in the movie, is that begins to change, you know, once they're playing for the team, visiting Israel, and in the spotlight. And now a lot of these players have turned around and are really, they identify much more strongly.
Now, you're making the rounds of this film now. You're coming to my hometown, not my hometown, my town of residence in Montclair. What's that like, making all these? I'm sure you're playing in relatively small venues, but with very enthusiastic audiences.
Yeah, not so small sometimes. Not so small sometimes at these venues. We played, in Atlanta. We were the first film to play in a brand new theater that fit 1,200 people, and we packed it. So the turnout and the enthusiasm for the film has really taken me by surprise. Documentaries don't necessarily play so well theatrically in many cases. That's why you tend to see like the Avengers in the theaters and not necessarily
special art houses for films like yours.
Right, but this has been, these screenings around the country have been great. Audiences have been enthusiastic and the vibe has been really festive and people have been almost treating the movie like it's a game, like they're at a game. You know, people will like cheer and clap, and you know, when Team Israel, makes a good play, it's a lot of fun.
Well, it sounds like, and I'm really looking forward to it. Seth Kramer, Holy Land Hardball: The Tale of Team Israel. Thank you very much.
Let me correct you on that. It's Heading Home: The Tale of Team Israel.
I'm sorry. Holy Land Hardball was the movie about the Israel Baseball League, the very short-lived Israel Baseball League in 2007.
We're starting a new genre of Jewish baseball movies. So
again, the title is, please?
Is Heading Home: The Tale of Team Israel.
There you go. Seth Kramer, thank you very much.
Thank you.
And that was our conversation with Seth Kramer. Visit Ron Kaplan's baseballbookshelf.com for the latest news, reviews, previews, and interviews about the game we love. If you have any questions, suggestions, comments, etc., please drop me a line at ronkaplansbaseballbookshelf@gmail.com. Thanks, everybody. Talk to you next time.
Said, boys, I'm glad I discovered this land.